And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us on the Monday edition. This is probably going to get me in trouble, but I'm just being honest here, okay?
Our listeners, regular listeners especially, Bob, are used to hearing you get in trouble.
Well, I was thinking about today's program, and I was thinking about the fact that at some point, just about every guy looks at his wife or at a woman he knows, and he asks the question, what were you thinking, you know? And then it seems like it goes from there to, were you thinking? And how do you think? It's a mystery for men. And we wind up scratching our heads and think something's defective in there and needs to be fixed. You know
defective?
What I mean?
Defective?
Well, haven't you ever felt that way? Now, be honest. Haven't you ever wondered if God didn't just somehow wire things wrong?
In my wife?
I'm not saying in your wife specifically. I'm saying in the way...
You are in trouble.
I am in trouble. Maybe we should start the whole program. Can you bail me out of this?
Well, we are different, you know. And, Bob, what you're talking about there is when you get married, you find out how really different you are. And I think we spent the first decade of our marriage finding out that different is not wrong. It's just different.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish we'd had some training along the lines of helping us as a man and a woman understand one another and how we think, because we do think not only differently as male and female, but, the scriptures. Let me just read something from the scriptures that catches on here. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, Peter exhorts husbands. He says, "You husbands likewise live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." And Bob, there's one word in that passage, 1 Peter 3:7, I want to circle, and I want to spend the next few days just unpacking. It's the word
understanding.
Understanding.
Right? Yeah, because that's back to what I was talking about. It's hard sometimes to understand how the other half is thinking. I'm sure it's hard for the other half to understand how I'm thinking sometimes, right?
I think so. You can think that they're defective. I mean, that's
probably
one...
not the nicest way to say it. I want to retract the defective. Can we strike that from the record, please? Defective was not what I meant.
But the reality is, when we think about it from our own perspective,
yeah,
and we think we're right, and he's wrong or she's wrong, and we need some help. And so we have some guests here on Family Life Today who are going to help us. Jeff and Shanti Feldhahn join us on our broadcast. Jeff, I want to welcome you for the first time, and Shanti, I want to welcome you back. Welcome to Family Life Today.
Thanks, Dennis.
Great to be with you.
Jeff and Shanti are from Atlanta, Georgia. They have a couple of children and a great writing ministry and a budding speaking ministry, in addition to Jeff being an attorney and Shanti being a writer for what's the name of the little paper you write for there? And it's a little local paper.
A little local, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, yeah.
Yeah, little local paper. But some of our listeners are going to remember Shanti's name from an interview we did with her, a series of interviews called For Women Only, What You Need to Know About the Inner Lives of Men. In fact, Shanti, I received an email from a listener. Her name is Cynthia. And Cynthia wrote us a few days after your series of interviews with us. And basically she said, the reason I'm writing is I'm interested to know why during this week, when you interviewed Shanti, recommending her book For Women Only, that you have not once mentioned or recommended any book for the men to read to get to know their wife's heart. And she goes on to say, what's up with that? I mean, it was a one-sided conversation. Well, there's a reason for that, wasn't there, Shanti?
There was. It was supposed to be one-sided, so we can spend a little bit of time being focused on our men.
And so what you and Jeff did is you did another research project, and this time you did it for men to help them understand their wives. And you interviewed and researched with how many people? Like 3,000, Jeff?
It was in that ballpark. We had, I would say that we had several focus groups where we interviewed, you know, lots of women, and then we conducted a professional national survey. Also, whenever Shanti was speaking to all the women in her various speaking engagements, would use that opportunity to question them, to run past some of these ideas.
And so you came up with a second book, For Men Only.
We did.
The discoveries, the seven things women want their husbands to know about them, right?
We had to be fair, Dennis. We have to do both sides of the story, don't we?
We do.
Well, and we need to mention here, you not only had the research, but you've had years of making mistakes about one another that you've shared with us in this book, right? I mean, you've learned along the way that you guys are different, right?
Absolutely. I think the biggest thing that most men struggle with is the actual concept that women could be understood. Just what you were talking about earlier.
So you would validate what I was saying, right?
It was my biggest hesitation with actually trying to write this book with Shanti.
Uh-huh. So the scriptures over in 1 Peter 3:7, when it commands husbands to live with their wives in an understanding way, are really on target. The scriptures, once again.
Absolutely right.
Nail it.
Absolutely.
Now you compare a woman after all these interviews. I found this interesting, and this may even be as delicate a word as defective.
Yeah.
All right. But you compare women to
a swamp.
You said it. I didn't.
Shanti had made the comment early on that,
a woman is a swamp.
Let me explain.
Please. Please.
And Bob might have to bail me
out.
But
by the way, thanks for joining me here in the Dog Pound. I appreciate it.
Shanti had said that, you know, really, we're not random. We can be mapped. We're understandable terrain. And I said, well, you know, most men, I hate to break it to you, will take the opinion that you guys are swamps. And quite frankly, you can't see the ground, where you're walking, where you're going to step. And unfortunately, at some point, you know that there's quicksand out there. And you're going to step in it.
You're going to get sucked in.
And every guy knows that once that happens, the best thing you can do is just to shut down and hope someone comes to rescue you.
Now, Shanti, were you being serious when you said that women can be mapped and it's understandable terrain?
Absolutely. That is one of the things that has been the biggest surprise for Jeff, and I hope he'll back me up on this, is that when I started talking to him about, you know, we really got to be fair about this. We got to do both sides of the story. We got to do a book for men about how we're wired. And Jeff's like, well, but you're random. you can't be understood.
That's right.
And he says, you know, when I picked myself up off the ground, you know, it really did come down to, though, I hadn't realized that you guys think that we're so hard to understand. And absolutely, we women can be systematized and understood just like you all can. It's really untrue that we are random. You just got to know what the truths are.
Okay, you're going to have to prove this out to me this week.
Because we will.
I think there's still, and would you say your opinion on this has changed since you started writing this book?
It has changed considerably, yet I still struggle with certain findings that we've come up with.
I just want to add my voice to yours, all right? Because, Shanti, you may say you can be mapped, but we have Barbara here in this studio with a statement saying, you men want to reduce us to an equation. A plus B plus C equal D. And we as women do not want to be reduced to an equation. We want to be a mystery. We want you to pursue us.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want you to figure us out and have us totally understood, because that would mean the chase is over and the mystery is solved.
One of the things we're actually saying in the book is that one of the subjects that needs to be understood is how much women want to be pursued. But it doesn't mean that once you understand her, that the pursuit has to be over. In fact, hopefully you understand that actually she needs that pursuit. And that's one of the things that can be systematized and mapped.
I'm just thinking every few days or maybe every few weeks, something, a woman decides, I'm going to rewire today. I'm just going to rewire the whole circuit board and we'll start something fresh and new.
Maybe this is why the defective word comes in.
Maybe that's where it came from. One of the chief findings that you found is that women, there's almost a universal bottomless void in the heart of a woman wondering, do you still love me? And you can do everything you can do as a husband to try to send that message. And you may pour some water into the bottomless hole, but it never gets filled up. And it's a constant need, right?
It is. And it is surprising to me. And I think it's surprising to most men that most of us view our wives as being confident, women who, you know what they're doing, are assured of themselves in the marketplace, raising the kids as a wife. But yet what we found is that even within each of those confident, self-assured women is this latent insecurity that asks the question, do you still love me? Mm. And usually that arises mm-hmm. when something triggers it. And to your point of we're trying to show that we love her, I think oftentimes we as guys are trying to show her that we love her in ways that we think she needs to be loved, but we're not necessarily using the same terms and speaking the same language that to her reflects love. Mm. So that's what we found, and it's interesting.
It was fascinating to me as a woman to really realize with Jeff and other guys, as we were starting to research this, that really they didn't realize that we are so different, where when Jeff signed the marriage papers, he said, you know, to a certain degree, I just stopped questioning it. It's done. You know, of course I love you. I've married you. And it's like that old joke, you know, why do I need to tell her I love her? I told her when we got married.
Right, sure.
And you know, it's an awful joke, but to a certain degree, it reflects the reality of the way guys are wired. Mm-hmm. And instead, it really is surprising for men, since this book is all about stuff that men don't get about us, it really is surprising to find out that a woman doesn't sort of feel permanently loved the day you sign the marriage papers, and that she needs to not only hear it, but she needs to actually have it demonstrated, especially given the fact that deep underneath that confident woman, there is that latent insecurity. And when it's triggered, she really needs to be reassured that, yes, I still love you. We are okay.
Now, let me just try and probe this a little bit and help me out here, because if I were to ask you right now, do you feel confident that your husband loves you?
Right now, absolutely.
And
the key word is right now.
And I guess the question is, what would cause you to doubt that?
Pretty much any time that we have.
It could be just anything.
And no, it's for a woman, it's any time that there's any kind of an emotional conflict, any time that Jeff shuts down, sort of withdraws, it kind of stirs that thing in a woman that goes, are we still okay? And for a guy, he says, you know, it's totally illogical for her to question whether I love her just because we had this argument. And yeah, okay, I will admit that it probably is illogical. I know with my head that Jeff loves me. I know it, even in the middle of a bad argument or whatever. Not that we ever argue badly, but never. But even I know that he loves me, but it doesn't assuage that feeling, that emotion that rises up, that really is that kind of insecurity.
Jeff really started us down the road toward answering Bob's question. How can a woman feel loved at one moment and not in the next moment?
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff just shared that women have an insecurity about them that we as men don't always spot. And this has really been fascinating in our marriage. And I would not claim to be an all-knowing, all-wise husband in this particular topic, but Barbara and I have laughed at the number of times when I have communicated to her how I see her as very confident, self-assured, virtually no weaknesses, performing well. And she'll look back at me and she'll go, have you been married to me for 33 years and you still think of me as a confident person? And truthfully, I do. I don't look at her and see her as a person who has a lot of insecurities.
Yeah.
But that doesn't change the way she feels. And so the answer to Bob's question, how could you go from feeling love at one moment to the next moment, well, I'm not quite sure about that. Well, there's so much of life that taps into those insecurities that my wife feels, that at any time, whether it's a phone call from a family member, an email that comes through that knocks the props out from under her, maybe some physical issues, going to the doctor, that just taps into her own insecurity. All of a sudden, she needs a fresh pitcher of water of her husband's love to pour into her cup and to say, honey, I love you.
Well, let me give you the kind of thing that can, I think, often happen in a marriage. Let's say a guy has got some project going on at work, and it's a consuming project, and he's spending a lot of hours doing it, and it's really taking a lot of time. And in as a result of that, his relationship with his wife has had to kind of be minimized during that time. There haven't been any conflict, hadn't been any arguments, but it's just been kind of the bare minimum of passing along information because he's preoccupied. He's always thinking about what's going on. Now, he's been at that for about a week, week and a half maybe, and one night they're going to bed and, you know, he's thinking, you know, tonight would be the perfect night for a little romance because finally we're going to bed at the same time. I'm home. I haven't had to work late. And she's thinking, I don't know you. And I'm insecure about your love for me, and conflict erupts. And you've never had anything like that happen between the two of you, I'm sure. But that happens over and over again. And Shawnee, in the heart of a woman, just that the fact that he hasn't been paying attention raises doubts about what's in his heart, right?
It does. And the thing is that we know with our brains that it shouldn't necessarily. You know, we all understand that there are conflicts, and we understand that there are periods of stress in your life and all of that. We do understand it. And that's why I say it's really this sort of underground, subconscious, latent thing. But the thing is, when it's triggered, honestly, it really is this kind of gut-twisting feeling of just truly needing to be reassured. And a guy who doesn't understand that sometimes can see that. Jeff says, you know, in the book, that, you know, you see your wife showing signs of distress. Well, you can read signs of distress as drive your man nuts if you want to. Because it truly is. That's when we kind of go, can we talk? What's wrong? You know, and we're trying to push on it at the same time that the guy is most wanting to withdraw. And that's the reason for it is we're feeling, do you still love me?
I had a phone call from a good friend who's a very successful businessman, and he said, Dennis, could my wife and I come out to your house and just chat for an evening? I said, sure. They got a bunch of young children, and they're in the thick of life, and he's doing very well in his business. And so we sit down and begin to talk, and I say, what's the challenge here? And he said, well, I have this hobby. And, you know, my wife just doesn't feel comfortable with me pursuing this hobby. I said, well, explain to me what you do. And say, well, I've described how often he was participating in this hobby. And the hobby really is irrelevant, okay? You could scratch the word hobby and insert work or whatever you wanted to insert there.
But with this guy, I mean, what, golf or fly fishing or something like that?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, okay. Something like that. So I asked the wife, I said, what are you feeling? And here's what she said. She said, I feel in competition. I feel second class. And I'm fearful. I'm fearful that I'm no longer important to him and that the family is no longer important to him as well. And I feel like I'm losing him at a time when I need him more than ever. Well, what was happening was the very thing you're talking about, Shawnee. She was in need of her cup being filled with his love and assuring her. And it may mean for a period of time that he needs to take that hobby and cut way back or eliminate it. I love to hunt. Personally, I gave up hunting for about 10 years because we had six children in 10 years, and we were in the thick of raising those children. And you know what? You can't leave your wife for a couple of days and go hunting. You know, you'll come back and she'll be all tied up. I mean, in more ways than one. But our wives need us to step forward and to love them. And I know this is something you guys write about in your book, Jeff, and I want you to comment on it. As men, we want our wives to feel like we love them permanently. It's a done deal.
We do. And as Shanti and I were talking about this, we came up with an analogy as to whether or not that's possible for a guy and how we can explain it so that guys understand it.
Mm-hmm.
The analogy we came up with is a guy at work. For most guys, they'll probably be honest and they'll say, you know, do you ever feel permanently secure in your job? If you ask them that question, and they'll say, not permanently. In fact, probably could be three or four mistakes away from losing my job. The industry could take a hiccup and I could be out of work. So I need to keep in the forefront of my mind how am I going to provide for my family?
Got to keep the resume up to date and keep my contacts open. You never know what's going to happen.
We ran that analogy past several women in our focus group and later with other women, and they said, similar.
That's how they feel about marriage.
We feel that we could be three or four disagreements, conflicts away from things going really bad.
As in divorce?
Just really bad.
Even if it's not divorce. Even the thought of three or four, bad blow-ups away from losing your love, even if I know you'd never divorce me, that doesn't mean that you might not be completely distant emotionally and sort of be stuck there. Honestly, we heard verbatim the same exact sentence from multiple women, and I've felt this myself, which is, what happens if he doesn't snap out of it this time? Hmm. That truly is.
Snap out of what?
Whatever his funk is, his upsetness with her.
Whatever has taken his eye away from the captivation of marriage.
Yeah, sort of that idea of he's upset with me, maybe he's disappointed with me, maybe he's withdrawn, whatever it is. And it's kind of this, what happens if he doesn't snap out of it this time? And, obviously, I know when Jeff is upset and he needs his space, I know that he's going to come back at some point. He's a great husband. He tries, to do the things that make me feel loved. But it doesn't change the fact that I'm wired with this insecurity, even as a confident, secure woman, that when it rises up, I do kind of think, it really doesn't feel, nothing's right with the world until this between us is resolved. He can go off to work and put it out of his mind. I can't.
Mm-hmm. We were talking earlier about your love for the University of Michigan football. And on those Saturdays when the blue
would lose,
you would drift off into an emotional funk, right?
Absolutely. It was the way I was raised.
And when that happened, did that create insecurity in you around
the
marriage?
Oh, yeah.
You knew why he was upset because his team lost,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but I think, golly, do I mean, and this sounds silly, but this is especially early on in our marriage, I kind of think, do I mean so little to him that he would allow this football game to get in the way of him being the loving husband that he knows that I need? And, I just didn't understand at that point what was going on. But this points out that I think guys don't understand that your wife never feels permanently loved. It is something that you do have to be pouring in, great analogy, pouring in the water. And because it truly will, the things of life will drain it away. And really the focus, the really narrow focus of the chapter is that nothing will drain it quicker than that sense that you guys are in conflict, that he is displeased with you. It sounds real old fashioned. Honestly, it doesn't sound like a strong, liberated woman should be thinking this way. But truly, that's where it comes up. One woman said, I know it sounds old fashioned, but a lot of desperate feelings arise for me when I think that he is displeased with me.
Could we talk about the pouring in?
Yeah.
Because for most guys, that is the overwhelming thought.
Well, that's what I wanted to know. Now that you know this about Shawnee.
Right.
Now that you know that there's some insecurity and that's all, even with what you see, what are you doing differently? How are you making this work?
What I've learned is if most guys would probably say the pouring in involves some Herculean tasks. And that is, I have to plan this romantic meal for every 2 weeks or plan some romantic getaway or whatever it is.
Flowers, greeting cards, phone calls.
It's a lot of work.
Oh, man.
A whole lot
I'm getting
work.
Worn out hearing you talk
but,
about
but,
it.
But here, I just want to stop you there, Jeff, because the way we think as men, we want to make this Herculean task you're talking about an event.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
right.
We want to make it a deposit that gets us off the hook for the next couple
absolutely.
Of weeks.
It's a checklist. It's a checklist, so it's done. It's back to done. And the reality is, it's not an event. You're not married to an event. We're married to a person who happens to be a woman.
With different needs than what we have.
Exactly.
And what I found, and the happy news in all of this, is that it really is the small things. But it's consistency. It's the small things such as taking her hand in the parking lot when you're walking from one store to the next, giving her a little voicemail on her phone when you know she's not going to pick up, 30 seconds that tells her how much you appreciate her. sending her an email. Little things that take so little time in our day, but deposit in her the sense that he's there for me. He loves me.
I called Marianne one day in the middle of work, and she answered and said hello. And
did you have my permission to make that phone call, by the way?
I was on a break. I called and I said, I was just calling, see how your day is going, just thinking about you. And she said, no, really, what? And I said, I was thinking about you. And she said, no, really, what were you calling about? And I realized when she said that, I have not done this often enough. She knows the only time I call her is when I've got some agenda item and I need to be calling a little more often to say, I was just thinking about you. What's going on with you?
You know, something real interesting about that we, as we were doing the research, is that we found that in general, most guys, and the ladies out here listening to this will be surprised by this, most guys actually think about their wives throughout the day. I mean, even if it's just a little flash, you know, a little 2 second, oh, how much I appreciate her, that they'll think about their wives, you know, 10, 15 times during the day or more sometimes, but they never actually do anything with it, you know, and that's fine. It's just, but it's, the women don't realize, really, he is thinking about you. And so Jeff, what he's realized is, you know what, even once, training yourself that when it flashes across your mind, picking up the phone, leaving a 20-second voicemail, whoa, that makes me feel so loved. And I actually asked a bunch of these women as I was doing some of these interviews, I said, has your husband ever done this? And this one woman said, oh, you know what? He did this thing 2 months ago where I came home and there was a voicemail on my answering machine and he said how much he loved me and appreciated me. And oh my goodness, I can still remember every word he said. And she went on and on and on and on and on for like 3 or 4 minutes about this. And I thought that probably took the guy 20 seconds and she can still remember it 2 months later and remember exactly what he said. Guys who are listening to this, see how simple that is for okay. such a huge return.
Can we wrap this up? Because I need to go make a phone call. You know what I mean?
I just have a very simple assignment for every man listening who's married. All right? From this multiple choice question, pick one of the following to execute with your wife in the next 24 hours.
All right.
Number one, a handwritten note that you leave for her either at the beginning of the day, or you leave on her pillow before you leave for a trip, just find a way to write a handwritten note. Secondly, open the door for her the next time you go somewhere together, to church, to go out to eat. Open the door, give her your arm, and take her by the hand and walk her to the restaurant and have your cell phone handy to call 911.
I did this. I opened the door for Marianne after you and I had been out to dinner. You and Barbara and
right.
Marianne and I had been out to dinner recently, and I went around and opened the door, and she said, oh, sure, your boss is here, and so you opened the door for me.
It doesn't count. Yeah, you got
right.
no points
got
for
no
that.
Points
no
for
points
that.
For yeah. that. Our number three, now this is going to sound to some of the guys a little Herculean in Jeff's words, but this is very simple, but I'm going to tell you something. This is a huge payoff. Ask your wife at the beginning of the day that when you come home at the end of the evening, you'd like to have a discussion with her, either over dinner or after the kids are in bed, of what her top three needs are. All right? She can think about it all day long, write down her top three needs, and I promise you, you don't have to meet those needs to win. All you have to do is interact with her and talk with her about those needs. And just to affirm what we're saying, Shanti is nodding her head. Right, Shanti?
Absolutely. Even though I can see how a guy would think it would be Herculean, but just listening, which we'll talk about later in this week, will make a huge impact on her.
And I just have to say, whatever you do, guys, if you do this, do not tell your wife that you were hanging around Bob or me or listening to Jeff Ashanti here on Family
Life. This came from a checklist.
Yeah. That you get no points for that either.